Quickly open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I want to commence today from the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read a portion of the scriptures that's very well known. But I'm trying to bring out something slightly different from the common about it. From verse 1, we won't read everything from verse 1, but I just like to take it in context. I'm going to stop in verse 10. And my emphasis is from verses 9, is verses 9 and 10. It said, "My son," verse 1, "do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." He said in verse 3, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck." Verse 4, I'm jumping like I told you. "You do this, you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." He now says in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight," or direct your paths. All right, rearrange things for you so that you will find it easy to move and make progress. Verse 7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Now, please notice this, verse 9. "Honor the Lord from your wealth," or with your substance, if you have a King James, "and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." Now, there are two things I want to bring out from here. From verse 5, all right? And then also from verses 9 and 10. In verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," actually verse 6, "and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." In verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce." And then the consequence is that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Please, let me just, like I said to you, I'm summarizing what we have been saying about the seven names of God. I always like to say from the beginning, especially for those who went off with us from the beginning. When I use the expression seven names, we are not counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We use the number 7 as that of a spiritual numerology, which stands for perfection, all right? And in which case we are saying that the name of God or the names of God are infinite. The name of God is infinite. Whichever way we want to look at it, both of them are correct. Anytime you find a situation, now listen to this carefully, God has a name he bears in that situation. Please, we must understand that. When you discover the name of God in that situation, you call upon that name, and then you are saved. That's how it is, all right? In the time of, let's say, financial hardship, you know, you don't call upon the God that healed thee, because when that scripture was used, it was specifically talking about bodily ailments. Are you getting my point? And that does not apply to financial difficulty. So it's important we understand the name of God in every situation. That's why it is possible for somebody to have results in a particular area of life, to get abundant results in one area. He gets to another area, he doesn't have that kind of result. You understand? The reason is because the fellow is unable to relate to the fact that God is this kind of God in that situation. There are those who don't believe God understands physics. You understand my point? Yes, they think he doesn't understand physics. So God understands Bible knowledge, Christian religious knowledge. He understands moral languages. But when you start talking dy, dx, you understand? And you start talking about the rate of change of momentum being directly proportional to the force applied, or, you understand, that kind of thing. They think God gets confused. They actually think so. They don't say it. They can't say it. You know, the name God does not allow them to say it. But deep inside their hearts, they feel like there is something God does not get. When it comes to doing business, if for something God doesn't understand computer programming. Now, they don't say it with their mouth. They just, when they are doing things, it's like, no, God cannot decipher this. And because of that, it may sound funny when I'm saying like this, but the truth is that that's how a lot of people reason. And because of that, they are incapacitated in that particular area. They think that God doesn't understand this. They don't understand, that's the meaning of it. They don't understand his name in that situation. For that reason, they go through life, they struggle in that area. That same person will go to another area, and you see, it's fantastic. He will tell you that, listen, I don't fall sick. Like one of my friends will say, mosquito cannot bite me. One of my friends will say like that. And when he says it, all right, he's somebody like that, and he means it, you actually see that he doesn't get those kind of problems. Why? He tells that this is what the word of God said. Now he goes to another area, he hasn't discovered the name of God. So he does not understand, he doesn't experience the power of God. And that's why the Bible says it is those who call upon the name of the Lord that will be saved. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. That name of God there, you must understand what God bears as a name in every situation, okay? Now, we read the scripture, you say, why did I read it? He said that, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, all right, in verse 6. And that gets down to that verse 9. It says that, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Most of the time we teach from that verse 9, what we are trying to explain to people is that why it is important that they give financially. Some of you say, Pastor, don't go in there. You've said it again. Please don't be angry with me. I have to start again. As long as the problem is there, we have to continue solving it. You understand? And I always try to get Christians, because this matter of money is so everywhere. It pains me that it gives the Church of God a bad name. All right? It gives us a bad name. It pains me. But the truth is that we have to try and balance it. I need to emphasize it. So you see, this is how it is. We often say this because we're trying to emphasize that Christians should give. And I keep on saying it. It is important. If you are not a giver, you're a selfish person. If you're a selfish person, your faith is not strong. That's not a joke. Go read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Okay? Christians are givers. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
However, this is what I want to bring out. I looked at this and I realized something. That the emphasis here was not on money. The emphasis here was on the first of your increase. And I explained to us before, the first, all right, what we call first fruit in the scriptures is an acknowledgement. This is actually the same thing as verse 5. That's what I'm going to bring out for you. In verse 5 it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. In verse 9 it says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. What the emphasis was there actually, the spiritual substance there was not about money. You understand my point? It was not about, in fact, they were not talking money here. They were actually talking about the fruit of the earth, of course, which has, you can relate with it, money anyway. But what they were trying to say is this. When people will harvest, the very first thing that came from the earth, God gave them a commandment under the laws of Moses that they were supposed to take that thing in the time of harvest and go and present it before the priest. The idea behind it was that they were by that acknowledging God in that harvest. That's what I want to emphasize to you here. So when he said that honor the Lord with the first of all your produce is amplifying verse 5. What God is looking for is not material things. God does not spend money. And he says something, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. All right? I just like to say this all the time when I get to it so as to help people understand. They say, nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. That then is not true. It is not true. It is not true. You can ask God for something and get it without giving him anything first. In fact, God demands you don't give him anything first. Because he said, who has given to me that he might demand back? Please don't, oh God, I have like 5 people here this evening. They have come and that thing is in their mind. All right? And I need to knock it out of your head. So you're the one keeping me here. 5 of you. Listen to me. Sounds funny, but I mean it literally. I'm not joking about it. Some people have never heard this before. They still think. I was still went to preach somewhere last time. Which day was it? Okay, yeah, after I finished on Tuesday. I went somewhere to preach. They just took somebody to take offering. And as he took his microphone to collect the offering, you know this is our opportunity to be blessed. If we don't give, this is how kingdom is. This is a law. Before you can prosper the kingdom of God, I was just shaking in my chair. Say, oh God, you know, the man standing beside me. If I rush you now, eh? Why are you lying to the people of God? He wasn't trying to deceive anybody. He was deceived himself. A lot of people don't realize it. Please, I need to be emphatic about it. The way by which we get from God is that we ask in faith with right motives. And when I say right motives, I'm not saying, no, some people don't understand motive. They think motives means that, I must say, God, you know, we want to preach the gospel. As if, you know, God is partial towards the preaching of the gospel. So they can never say, God, you know, this money, we want to preach the gospel. And God is looking. This boy thinks I was born yesterday. You know that kind of thing. He's trying to lie to me. Listen, when I say right motives, once you remove a sinful motive, the motive is right. What I mean is this. If it is like God, one brother gave me a testimony once. My wife knows what I'm talking about. You know, God helped him and he bought a nice car for himself. And when he was telling me, he said, well, he was feeling very happy. was feeling very happy. He said that day he sat down and said, God, dress me up now. That was his prayer. That was his prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Put some shine on me. That was his prayer. He said, just say, Lord. He said, he just looked over his life. He works very hard. He's somebody I know very well. You understand? Hardworking young man. And he just sat there and said, Lord, please, dress me up now. And then something just, a thought just dropped into his mind. All right? And that was it. In a few weeks' time, he had a new vehicle. My emphasis there was that when I'm talking about right motive, the motive was not, you know, with this car, I'll be able to carry people from house to house, evangelism. And then, look, God, the Bible says he dresses the flowers of the field. Do you understand my point? He does. It's important to him that the flowers look nice. And Jesus emphasized that Solomon in all of his glory was not as well dressed as that. So God, to God, it is good that you don't look like all the troubles of the head and your the world on your head. When you are going to be looking very sad and morose, so what happened? Said, the world is not my home. Is that why, even if I'm in a hotel, do I look like this? Even though the hotel is not my home. Please, I'm emphasizing right motives. Are you getting my point? I'm emphasizing right motives. And once we just, so the right motive must not be, you know, I must pray to God. That's the right motive. Are you getting my point? It's the right motive. I'm just trying to say that that's not the only right motive. I told somebody the other day that I learned a man of God. I've told this story here before, many years ago. When I had to labor for one whole month to earn 1,000 naira. Actually, I said 1,000 just because I'm trying to make it round. The money was less. So let's just make it round. I just finished school that time. This was 1991, okay? Now, he came to preach. He said one day his wife said the most expensive, you know, attire, suit of clothes that she has was given to her by her mother. And he said to himself, what? My wife is saying that in my presence. He went and told God, did you hear that? I said, God, let's do something. That statement has to be canceled. So he prayed to God that, please, I want to cancel that statement my wife made. You will give me money so that I will ensure she can't say it again. One day, he's a preacher. One day somebody walked up to him and said, the Lord said I should give you 50,000 naira. Now, I needed to tell you what I was earning then to let you know the value of 50,000. I just left school. I was a house officer. My salary was less than 1,000 naira a month. It's not today. Yet somebody gave, and he spent 25,000 naira to suit his wife up. At the end of the day, he said the rest of the money, he had no use for it. So next time he went to church, he dropped an offering basket. My story about it is that he asked God, say, let me shut this woman up from saying this kind of thing. And God said, right, he wasn't competing with his neighbor. It was between him and his wife. If we have a right motive, that's what I'm going to emphasize. God answers prayers. I need to emphasize that for us. What did I say? God answers what? Prayers. He does. Okay? So, take that out of your mind, that if I don't give to God, he won't give to me. No. If I ask God in faith, he will give to me. Why do I give? Because I'm a good person. I'm like my heavenly father. I'm not wicked. It's wicked people that withhold. There is he that withholded and tended towards poverty. I'm not like that. I'm a child of God. If you're a child of God, say amen.
Amen.
Mama wanted to fly a plane or enter a bus. He went and bought a small child's ticket. Now police grab him. Why do you have a child's ticket? Say, I'm a child of God. Somebody sent me that joke yesterday. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, I just brought that one up, okay, to emphasize something again and to solve some things in the hearts of people. Please, Christians, you are givers. You should give. You should be generous. That is what God called you to be. However, that is not the basis upon which he blesses you. Because I'm bringing out some, there's a reason. You say, what's the connection? The connection is right there. So we often think that, so this is what we need. We need to financially give to God before God can multiply. I say it all the time. It is not so. It is not so. When we want from God, we ask in faith. Ask and you shall receive, and your joy will be full. However, what is relevant of this scripture? Which is what I'm talking about. What's the relevance? He said, honor the Lord from thy substance. It's tied to verse 5. I explained to us before that the first fruits in the old covenant, the way God gave it to them, The first fruit was not your whole month's salary. All right? Forget all of these ones we do in today's Christianity. I don't want to go into that now. The first fruit was an acknowledgement of the fact that that thing came from God. That was what he designed it for. So that when I earn, when I increase, the first expenditure, the important thing is that's the first thing that goes there and it is spent upon. It's not as much as my first income as it is my first expenditure. That is, I'm saying that this came from God. It did not come from my labor. I am saying that this came as a blessing from the Almighty. It is not from my degree. I'm saying that it is God that sent this into my home. Any method by which he used is just what the Bible calls the hand of God. The hand of God could be that I got a job with federal government. The hand of God could be that I buy and I sell. The hand of God could be that I invested in the stock market 15 years ago, and today the stocks I bought for 5 naira, each one is worth 1,000 naira, and they are paying me so much dividends every month. That is still the hand of God. The hand of God could be that I was such a blessing to somebody, he came one day, like the man I was telling the story earlier, and the man gave me money. The hand of God could be anything. Whatever the hand of God is, I don't make an image of that thing. That's breaking the commandment of God. And don't go and teach young people, this is how to succeed in life. Sometimes I see people trying to teach you how to plan for your future. I shake my head. This plan for your future that you are teaching subsequent generations is calling making an image of that which God has done in the past. And people thought it. At the end of the day, it failed for the next generation. Whatever method the Lord uses, we can't fixate ourselves on those methods. That's just a hand of God. So, what he's saying here is this, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. And that's what he was emphasizing when they say, honor the Lord from the first of your increase. The idea is this, make sure you never forget that this thing came from God. And the commandment they were operating with under the old covenant was beautifully described. I'm not going to that now. You have to physically go to before the priest and recite some things when you are beginning harvest. And I gave us the example before that Jesus Christ never ate food. Never. He never ate food without giving thanks. And that was what? An acknowledgement. Please, I'm saying to you as I close this series, that what God wants from you all the time is always do what? Acknowledge him. I will explain something further in a moment. You see, you know, we're talking about the names of God. The names of God, we said, or a name of God describes his character. It describes his glory. It describes his disposition towards us as his children. There was a time Joseph was called before Pharaoh, come and interpret the dream. And then when Pharaoh told Joseph, I heard you interpret dreams, he explained simply to Pharaoh, the interpretation is with God. Are you getting my point? That is, it does not lie within me. It is a gift that I have, but it came from God. That is, our sufficiency, like Paul would say, is of God. Our ability came from God. Once I was watching Kenneth Hagin preach. This was many, many years ago. I'm telling you a story. This was when I was on campus, I think. And I remember, after it was missing in South Africa. And after he laid hands on people were getting healed and all of that. And he doesn't stop and say, who is the healer? Everybody will say, Jesus. You know, he just recites those things, you understand, that he must not take any glory unto himself. As I said to us before, there are two situations in life in which we call upon the name of God. One, in the time of trouble. Two, in the time of thanksgiving. Both of them are very important. Very, very important. That is, any time, let me say this again. Be careful how you respond to situations in life. Your words are going out and they are saying things about you. They are calling things towards you and repelling things away from you. They say Ebola virus. It entered town. How do you respond? You get my point? It is a time of trouble. What you do is call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean you stand outside and just be shouting, hey, God, help us, oh, help us, oh. That's not what it means. You have not called upon the name of the Lord. You haven't, if that's all you did. What do you do? Like I told you, I was saying on Tuesday, I called a friend of mine, he's in Lagos, and that's where the thing hits in Nigeria. How are you coping? He said, we have drawn the bloodline. That was his response. Another person I heard, I was disappointed. I felt like, you know, I feel like freaking him, say, will you stop that nonsense? He was, of course, this is what Lord would do. I don't understand this kind of country. This country is very nonsense. In the airport, why did they not have a strategy for making sure people didn't come into the country? We're in trouble in this country. That is giving the name of the Lord to a vain thing. There was another believer there, and we raised our voice and said, look, forget that one. God is still, you understand? We put our foot down. But that's what we don't realize. We're talking about calling upon the name of the Lord. When I heard that, I said, listen, death is a spirit. And it recognizes boundaries. You get my point? That's it. That our God controls life. With Jesus Christ is the power of life and death. That's it. What I've said is that Ebola, behave yourself. I said to you before, that I heard somebody teach, and it's so true. In fact, when I heard it, we discussed it on the General School of Prayer, that when Jesus rebuked the wind, Jesus didn't just say, of course, the Bible said that he said, peace be still. But somebody analyzed that scripture and said that when he said he rebuked the wind, that it wasn't just the word rebuke had to do with his attitude and the manner in which he addressed the wind. It was like, who's talking? Will you be quiet? You are trying to do what? To who? What gave you the impression you had the power to topple this boat? Are you getting my point? So, you know, it's a rebuking attitude. It wasn't just the words. Many people want to rebuke what they are afraid of. The heart is afraid. The rebuke is just talk. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. When we're talking about calling upon the name of the Lord, something like that comes up instantly. And that's my message for today, actually. What you do is to magnify God. Let me say it again. What you do is to do what? Magnify God. Listen, when David said, magnify the Lord with me. Listen, you know, God in himself, you cannot increase him. You know that as a person. You can't. If you could, there is not the biggest there is today. That means he's not the most high. If you can grow higher, you are currently not the most high. Yes, now, because you and then you won't be the same yesterday, today, and forever. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why God cannot, there's nothing you do that can improve God. But when David says, magnify the Lord, it has to do with your own life. When we're talking about magnifying God, literally make him bigger in your life. To magnify something means to expand the scope. Increase the aspect of your life he covers. I hope you're following what I'm saying. He does not only cover your life in church. He covers your health. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of Ebola infection, I will fear no infection, for the Lord is with me. You're getting my point? That's what it means to magnify him. Magnify God means talk more about him than you do about your problems. Think about it. Once, you know, I traveled somewhere, one of the eastern state capitals. Some of my seniors picked me up. I won't tell you where. And we're just driving in the car. And I realized that it struck me that Nigerians can complain. It just struck me that Nigerians can complain. That human beings, not Nigerians now, human beings. He said, can you see? Look at all this. I don't want to give you details, all right? And if we're in this car for 15 minutes, I heard all the troubles of the state. How useless the governor is. Of course, every Nigerian governor is useless apart from the governor in the other state. You know that kind of thing. That's how we look at it. You get my point? Uh-huh. Everything is, this one is bad. What's wrong with them? That's how we talk. And I realize that is what we do most of the time. I know what we are doing. We are magnifying the problems. I have never seen a good president in Nigeria who's in office. It's usually when he has gone. You've not noticed? When Obasanjo was in office, he was the most useless man as far as most people were concerned. The moment he left, people were wishing he stayed back. Why did we not vote for the third term agenda? Can you imagine, under Obasanjo, this would not have happened. Under Obasanjo, this would not have happened. Well, while he was in office, everybody said, go better for you, wait. That was what we did every day. Then he leaves office. Just wait. Jonathan's tenure will be over. Then people will sit down. What did we not, I still remember. Oh, God in heaven. Even my hospital there, when my former CMD was in power, complain. As soon as he left, one thing I like about that former CMD, as soon as he left, That's why the Bible says it's not wisdom to say the former times were better than now. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. That's what people do all the time, complain. Now, let me say another thing. We always have those reasons to complain. No, it's not as if we don't make them up. We don't make them up. In fact, if you see the area where people will tell me that my former CMD is better than the present one in certain areas, they are not lying. We always have reasons to complain. And it's not as if those reasons are imagined. But you see, the more you complain about something, the bigger it becomes. The more prominent it becomes in your life. I'm about to slip into the marriage thing again. If you complain about your spouse a lot, he or she becomes worse, at least in your eyes. Yes, that's a matter of fact. The more you complain, and what happens is that you take an area of life. Now, this is how you magnify things. Listen to this. Any area of life you take and speak a lot about is magnified. Do you hear what I said? For example, you are in a house, and then the roof is leaking. And you talk about that leaking roof every day. Your blood pressure will go up slightly. Do you understand my point? Yes, it goes up a little. You become unhappy with the house. Yeah, you'll be very unhappy with the house. Now, all the other good things about the house, they won't make you happy until you talk about them. What I've told you is a matter of fact. This is sound principle of life. Those things are there. You walk in a place right now. Start complaining. You will hate that job. When you wake up in the morning, you are angry. If all you do is talk about the problem becomes so big, they control your emotions. Now, the problem itself has not increased in size, though. It's the same size, though. I hope you're following what I'm saying. It's the same size. But it controls your emotion. It controls your disposition, I wanted to say. Your disposition to the people that work there. It controls how you make decisions concerning that workplace. And no matter how beautiful the other things there, no matter how beautiful they are, they don't affect you much because you don't talk about them. Did you hear what I said? Yes. What I've told you, please note it. That's a matter of fact. People have gotten up, resigned from fantastic jobs in anger. And people say, what on earth made you do it? Because the fellow came out, there's nothing else to do. Why? Because before that day, all he or she did was complain. Therefore, he magnified the problems. And then the problems took hold of him or her and started helping him make decisions. I told a story once on CNN, this was many years ago, I watched Christian Amanpour follow the story of a young man who killed a young black boy at the age of 17 or thereabouts, 17, 18. He killed an elderly white man for nothing. This was in the state of Texas. They caught him, tried him, found him guilty. All his friends testified against him. They didn't lie. It was the truth. They found him guilty and then sentenced him to death. He was tried as an adult at the age of 17 and they sentenced him to death. And Christian Amanpour followed that thing until they executed him and we saw his corpse. Okay? Now, the young man was interviewed. And he said something which is, in fact, I remember the story all the time because like Solomon would say, I took instruction. The boy said, why did I do it? He said, till now, I don't know. Why did he kill that young white man? He said, till at the time they were talking, he was on death row, was being interviewed by Christian Amanpour of CNN. He said, I don't know. Well, I say it's my friend. He said, it's not possible because I am the leader in the pack. Are you getting my point? It could not have been my friends. Is it my parents? No. My parents don't do such things. Why did I do it? The boy said, I don't know. It was just an evening. I think they just finished graduating from school or something. And they were just out partying. And one of them said, let's steal a car. Either he or somebody said, let's steal a car. They just saw a 190 Mercedes-Benz driving past. This man and his wife, they went to visit their children and grandchildren. They were coming back home. They chased after the car, stopped them. He dragged the man out and fired. His friends were shocked. And he shouted to the friend that he shoot the woman. And they're like, what? For what? Now, you know I'm telling the story? Because it made me think. The boy said, I don't know why I did it. He died for it. I believe it was the Holy Spirit. Gave me understanding. He said, you know why he did it? It's a typical American problem. It's a young black boy. And very common in the, now, listen, like I told you before, what we complain about, it's not as if they are not there. We didn't imagine them. They are present. But the more we talk about them, the more we do what? Magnify them. This is what I think happened. And I really believe that's what happened, really. He was a good boy. But in their house, you know, if you talk to the typical American black, and yeah, they are not lying. These guys are literally discriminated against. It's not a joke. They know. It's a matter of fact. But I just, in my mind, I started seeing their home. How every day, the father will explain the injustices that have been done to them by the whites. How he'll go to school and he'll hear it. And he will listen to people like Notorious B.I.G. because it was long ago. Tupac. And they would say all those hateful words about the white man. And then one day, he got a white man under his hands, under his power. He did not know when he killed the man. Why? What he magnified controlled his life. That's what I'm telling the story. Listen, what you magnify controls your life. You wake up every morning, you dwell on the problems of the society. You see, we've seen this a lot of times. You see, a young man has a very good job. Good. His wife has a good job. They have two beautiful children. Then the man gets a one day. Now, these days, getting fake visas is more difficult. But those are just giving one visa they got from somewhere. And he will liquidate his whole life and disappear to America. He will leave a beautiful job. His wife will leave a beautiful job. And the children go there. And they start struggling. And you don't hear them from there for 5 years. Why? Life is hard. Sometimes you wonder, why did they take that kind of decision? It's simple. Every day went to work. What is this country coming to? Potholes everywhere. In fact, when I went to my mechanic, he told me my shock absorber was bad. I said, why should the shock absorber be bad? These shock absorbers are new. I bought them just like 8 years ago. Why should they be bad? I already said 8 years ago, you know. Because we just keep on emphasizing the problems. So the person complains. Of course, as soon as power goes off, that's the problem. That is why manufacturing left Nigeria and went to Ghana. That's why manufacturing left Nigeria and went to Lesotho. And that's why manufacturing left Nigeria that's gone to the Atlantic Ocean. Can you believe it? Now we can't manufacture. How can you manufacture in a country like this? It is not possible. The mosquito bite, you see? The drainage in our compound is not working. That's why these mosquitoes are breeding and they are breeding. And they've been breeding and breeding. Look at, they are growing in size now. There's been mutation of the mosquitoes ever since we moved. What is going on? Then they pay him 2 days late. This is the problem. If he's an American, they will have sued the company. And the company will have had to pay fine for paying 2 days late. I don't understand. And this guy is well paid. This lady is well paid. Now, you go, as the fellow is moving around, he's angry. You don't realize it. What you have been magnifying, that's my emphasis. That's what controls your life. That's how it is. It's what you magnify. But if the same person would just stop and think, that's why I said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And don't forget any of his benefits. Listen to me. Anytime God says, don't do this, the opposite is natural. Did you hear what I said? If God says, do this, the opposite is natural. When he says, don't forget his benefits, become so usual and regular, we forget the benefit. The benefits become so usual and regular, we don't remember it's a benefit. And let me say something to you. There is one fellow called the accuser of the brethren. He is literally an enemy of your soul. He hates you. So he is very good at sitting down there and telling you all the negative things about life. What I've said is a matter of fact. If that same fellow would have sat down and said simply, as he's going out in the morning, Lord, I thank you, I have a place to go in the morning. I thank you, I'm productive. I thank you, I'm blessing somebody's life. I thank you, I have income. Okay, power has gone off. Please start my small generator. Oh Lord, I forgot to mention. Thank you that I have that generator. Lord, thank you. That there's fuel to put in it. Lord, look, if you continue like that, they will not, to extract you from that point and go somewhere else to be difficult. What you magnify controls your life. So he said, David said it to us like this, magnify the Lord with me. What it means is this. What do I mean by magnify? It's simple. Talk about him all the time. Interpret everything in life in the light of God. Ah, I need to say this again. This is Africa. At least this is Nigeria. This is Enugu. I don't know how it is somewhere else. So. Do you know that Christians magnify witches and curses all the time? Yes, they do. I told you about a church organizing an annual witch killing conference. Annual. Annual. Every year, children of God will gather to kill witches. Oh, I went to preach in Ondo the other day. I told you guys. That was about 2 Saturdays ago. I wasn't around. Inka and I went to Ondo to preach. I sat in the church. I heard the pastor share word briefly. The choir girl came up to lead, one of the choir leader, to lead the song. Then I preached for some days. Then it struck me I had not used the word witch once inside their church. I had not heard it. I suddenly stopped. I said, hey, I have not talked about witches here. I said, obviously in this church, you guys don't bother about them. The man shook his head. We don't. Do you know, without realizing it, I don't know whether I get my point. Without realizing it, I went in there, preached, and did not refer to it one time. Why? The man didn't magnify such nonsense. You know, when I'm preaching something, I tell you that it pains me, I have to say it. But because people hear the opposite so much, you have to help people. You have to. They magnify curses. Maybe there's a curse in your life. You know, the thing makes me laugh. Enter the tune television. Tonight, every curse. That is 30 minutes describing curses. You know what you have done? You are magnifying them. You think you are breaking them. I am charging you today. If you are a preacher and you behave like that, you are magnifying the curses. Under the old covenant, you notice something? The word devil or Satan was scarce. Yeah, very, very scarce. Very scarce. Even in the New Testament, it was not too much that was said about it. Let me talk about the Old Testament briefly. How did they still have victory? How did they still win in life? How? It's simple. The more you magnify God, the more the other guy diminishes. That's just the way it is. The more you magnify God, the more the other fellow diminishes. Thank God Job was not a Christian of today. If he heard that that Satan, if Job mistakenly knew there was, you know, he would have fought and fought and fought and fought, and he would not have won. Do you know why? The battle was not about how much of Satan he could fight. The battle was how to hold up his integrity before his God. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. And if you go and check it, when Eli was going to speak, I thought he was going to give a good logic, all right, to counteract all the things that Job said. But Elihu did, go and check it, all he did was to describe God. Where were you when he made this? He was the God that this one. He was the one that closed the mouth of Leviathan. He was the one that this, the God that said this. He described God for a long time and then he kept quiet. I said, Job, shut up, what do you know? And God said that Elihu has spoken what is right concerning me. You know what we do as Christians? These days, Nigeria of 2014, in case you are listening to this in 2020, by which time we will have repented, I preach this message in 2020, 2014, where it's a plague in the society.